For August the 8th, 2025, we talk about Cyclopean the Great Abyss, Warhammer 40K Dark Tide, Look Outside, and much more. Welcome to Level 553. My name is Kay Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Moxie.
And I'm Jala Prendez.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Happy to have you back, Jala.
Hey, what's up, y'all? How you doing?
Doing okay.
Cool.
Just summer. Not an awful lot going on.
No. Summer's always really busy for me.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I feel like summer and October are the two busy ones for me.
Okay.
For me, it's like summer and then like November. Mm. But anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you been up to?
Well, my birthday came and went, and it wasn't particularly good this year because the thing I've been dealing with that I haven't mentioned yet is that my dad is on home hospice and he's at the end of his life. I've made an announcement on my podcast server, so I wanted to let people know that's what I've been dealing with. I've had a few listeners reach out and say, it seems like you've been dealing with a lot of stuff lately. I don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. So I just figured I'd go ahead and put it out there. That's what's going on with me. We're doing everything that we can, but we're also really deeply absorbed in his care, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all of that and the grieving process and all of that. So like, I am still streaming, I am still recording podcasts, but they're kind of on a whatever schedule, whatever, when it can happen, it can happen. So that's where we're, where we are with that. My birthday was basically at home. Like we're talking like COVID lockdown kind of situation. We are at home all the time. Yeah. But I did get away long enough to get one birthday gift from Dave. He paid for me to get this tattoo that I wanted for a long time. And I just want to inform everyone that I have a Care Bears heart on my butt. And I posted a photo of the Care Bears heart itself, not my whole butt, but just the Care Bears heart on Blue Sky. So if you want to see the Care Bears heart that's on my butt, it's there on the internet for you. So
it's a very good tattoo idea.
Yes. Well, you see, I got it originally back, I had the idea for it back in 2020 when I was doing the pole classes and I did some Halloween workshops. And during those workshops, the first day I dressed as Grumpy Bear and I put a temporary tattoo on my butt because all of the little Care Bears plush have a little heart on their butt. Yeah. And then the next day when I was dressed as Spider-Man, I liked the little heart on my butt so much after the first day that I just left it there. And then eventually I was like, you know, I should just get a tattoo of that on my butt, actually. Yeah. And Dave said, yeah, I'll do that. But that was like, you know, I'll pay for that. And that could be your birthday gift. And that was like 2021. and here we are, like, because so anybody who is aware of Dave and my interactions knows that he has various nicknames. One of those is Slowpoke, like the Pokemon.
Yeah.
And that there are reasons. There are reasons for that. Everything takes forever. So, 4 years have passed since that time. And I just got that. So anyway, if people want to actually see it in context of the rest of my body, you're just going to have to wait until I go back to pole class, whenever that is, and start doing more pole stuff. And then, you know, there'll be something out there, I'm sure, that I will post. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good birthday gift, even if it is a little late.
a little, indeed. So, but anyway,
it's just a number. Birthdays are so relative, you know, it's kind of on time.
Time means nothing. But yes, so my butt itches. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know that my butt itches. So I will be
mine too. Oh, are we not doing that? Okay.
No. So anyway, that's what I've got going, and I will probably, like, you know, be trying not to itch, scratch my butt during the podcast, because that's so sexy after you thought about, you know, all the rest of the fun things.
Pole dance stuff and cosplay stuff, you know.
Scratching my butt, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's welcome to married life.
It's the human condition.
Indeed. So how's everybody else doing?
I'm doing okay. This is not anything in my life, but I very trepidatiously dipped my toe into the King of the Hill reboot that just hit Hulu here. King of the Hill is a show that means an awful lot to me. And I was real worried that they were not going to get it right this time. Unfounded. I'm like 5 episodes in of the 10 episodes, and it's super sweet. So yeah, I guess that is an unfounded worry.
How do they handle like the political elephant in the room?
Kind of indirectly. There's a lot of like reference to like conspiracy theory stuff, especially because of Dale Gribble, but also like fucking everybody is, you know, like that. I would say it's in line with how they treated political stuff kind of along the way. Like there are things that are presented as, you know, farcical, you know, just let's say like liberal indulgences, you know, just like performative kind of stuff that is like, okay, well, this is kind of silly, but the idea is good, you know, that kind of stuff. Sure. And that's played for humor, but like the focus is the characters and, you know, growing and changing and that kind of stuff, you know, Hank being stuck in his ways and then kind of coming around. So, yeah. So that's really it for me. That's what I got.
Having not seen it, the one thought I have is like the Bobby being like successful and you know, into his career as an adult seems to be like the ultimate vindication. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, they play out in the season. So it could be that is only what they've shown in the trailers, and he's actually as Bobby as ever.
Yeah, I've got no idea how it's gonna unfold. Like there does seem to be like overarching plot stuff, which is weird. I think they're telling a whole story episodically, so we'll see.
Everything nowadays.
Yeah. Oh well. Moxie, how about you? What you been up to?
Let me think. Not a whole heck of a lot this past weekend or past week. I'm debating going to Otakon this week because I found out it's, you know, literally just like a half hour train ride away.
Mm-hmm. You have to actively avoid it.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm actually interested to see if there is like a obvious increase in like otakus and such in the city this weekend. I know when I was in Baltimore when it was in town, like there's definitely was, even if you're just like out, you know, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I mean, that's, I don't know. I feel like I am like very much doing the boring adult thing. Like, yeah, I'm super excited that this weekend I might go out and do something, or I might take a nap.
Yeah. Honestly,
that
it owns.
Nap feels so good though.
Yeah.
When you're doing it instead of a thing.
Yeah. Nope. The only wealth is options. that and a lot of money. yeah. Well, like if you go, is there something in particular you're like especially wanting to see, or is it just you just gonna go and see the sights?
One of my favorite sewing brands, Cutso, that makes a lot of really great patterns for cosplay. is teaching a bunch of classes. So I'm debating doing, there's one on sashiko, so like Japanese embroidery. There's one on making like a furry wolf tail. There's actually one on dice casting, like metal dice casting, which seems kind of crazy.
Cool.
There's a couple others, like there's one that sounds like it could actually be kind of cool, that's on like depictions of masculinity in Devil May Cry.
Okay.
Which I don't know. It's either going to be completely crazy or a really bad panel, because the depictions of masculinity in Devil May Cry are bonkers.
Yeah, kind of all over the place.
Yep. There's also like, there's just a bunch of weird stuff. Like there is a Sailor Moon themed yoga class, which I have no idea what that even means.
Okay. Yeah, no, like a lot of that is just like curiosity. Like, what could this possibly even be?
So, oh, yeah. So a Sailor Moon themed yoga class, I imagine, would involve you striking all of the poses in Sailor Moon.
Okay.
I do not know, but I'm just saying that's probably that is what comes to mind for me.
Yeah.
Now I want to see a JoJo yoga class.
Well, that would have to be very much like an advanced yoga class.
Yeah, one of the weird experiences I've seen with like whenever I've gone to this sort of stuff is find out like I'm very much not an anime fan. by which I'm being somewhat facetious, but by which I mean like, I was talking with a coworker today. I'm like, I'm an anime fan in the same way that like someone who watches like the major like Marvel movie that comes out each year and whatever Star Wars movie that comes out each year is a movie fan.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I watch like the obvious like anime stuff that everyone loves. But, like, I have no idea what half the panels even are.
Yeah. This is stuff for real heads. I get what you're saying. Like, you know, like Chainsaw Man and Delicious in Dungeon, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Just a big, big kind of mainstream stuff. I get it.
Yeah. I am interested to see how, like, anime purist it is. Like, not... Sorry, that probably, like, I'm definitely get the vibes. I don't think that in a toxic way, but, like, I'm interested to see, like, how much it's, like, for example, is there going to be any, like, K-pop Demon Hunters stuff? Because, like, that's kind of anime?
I mean, it's in the neighborhood. Like, I'm positive that there are like, going to be all kinds of people, right? Like, you know,
I'm sure there would not be, well, human beings, what they are, I'm sure there will be people that would be judgmental about that, but like, I'm sure like no one is going to like those people. I'm interested. I'm kind of interested to see like how focused is just the paneling and stuff, not in like a judgmental way, but just in terms of like, you know, kind of what are they, you know, spending their resources on?
Yeah. Honestly, this year, if there's a group of three or more gals, or five or more guys that are not doing K-pop Demon Hunter, something has gone terribly wrong.
I mean, you make a good point.
Virtually mandatory.
Right.
I feel like I have a weird relationship to particularly like the boy band and like the demon designs in that. In that, like, for a long time I've been like lurking on a traditional Korean dress and being like, someone should make like an awesome wardrobe around this. It's like, wow, someone finally is.
Yeah. Cool. Well, whatever you decide to do, I hope you have a good time with it.
Yep. So, not sure if I'm going to cause... Not sure if I'm going to cosplay. I'm kind of debating seeing if I could just like Amazon cosplay a Neko Arc.
I don't know what a Neko Arc is.
So I dropped a picture in the chat, but it's basically a cat girl in a turtleneck and like a purple skirt.
Okay. Yeah.
And yeah, it's very much, it's kind of just a little chaos gremlin creature.
Also leather boots. I'm going to choose to interpret that as, so
they're shiny.
Don't miss that part of the cosplay.
Yeah. I mean, it is literally like it was originally in some, like, one of the Type Moon games, like when you died, the game would have tutorials for like how not to suck as much. And in the tutorial, instead of using actually your character, they use like a silly cat version of your character.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's like I get it.
Yeah. It's basically like a joke character from a fighting game, basically.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, you don't have much time to figure it out. Oh, Dennis, how about you?
Yeah. So this week, we got an N64. This is actually Jen's old console. It's been with her sibling for literally over a decade. And just wound up having it returned to us. And my kids, you know, have been all about it. But I'm not going to talk about the console. I'm going to talk about the reactions to the console, which every single one to a piece has contained the word old at least two or three times. Okay. Now, to be clear, they're enjoying themselves. They're having a ton of fun. But man, they rub it in every chance they get how old this console is.
What do they think of the peak of controller design?
Well, that's where I was going. So particularly when they have their friends over and they're showing it off. And you know, the friend, you know, picks up the controller and is like, what do I do with this? And Milo is like, oh, you gotta put your hand in the middle and then on the right. See? And you know, his friend gives him this incredulous look and Milo like gives this big exasperated shrug and is like, I know, that's just how they made them. Like he was demoing like healing through leeches or something.
Just because that's how they made it and because you were young when they did it that way doesn't mean they did it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so there's been much cracking on the controllers. Also just like, confusion, wailing, gnashing of teeth, denial over the fact that, you cannot save some of these games because we don't have a save cartridge.
Okay.
And so I was out for the night, Milo, you know, comes to me the next morning, just stomps into the kitchen. This is the first thing he says to me. He goes, Dad, I got all the way to the second boss of Rayman and it won't save. Like just incredulous. And I was like, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do about it now? So if anyone has any save cartridges, actually don't know how rare or hard to get they are. But yeah, some of the games they are feeling that pain.
Okay. I expected them to, latch onto the controller because it is the most obviously like weird thing about the system, but also you end up with, N64 games look worse than SNES games now, right?
Like on a high def TV as well. Like, yeah, I think they benefited a lot from the CRT smoothing, you know, whatever effect that goes on.
Yeah.
And it is pretty harsh. Doing like four player races, where, you know, now you're dividing it in, you know, the screen into four quadrants as well, was really a head fake. Particularly, when you're doing it, without like a field of racers, there's little bombs that come at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be damned if I could figure out where on the screen those were supposed to be at any given point in time. Like, yeah, you could see it was coming at you. But like I had no idea how to drive to like, miss them or, you know, consistently know I was going to go around them. It felt like they were kind of on their own layer with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Kart was a big part of it. Mario Golf, which I think this is the first one on the 64. I didn't realize they just had a whole bunch of normies in the character roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's
it's weirdly straight laced. Yeah.
And there is Sunny. And, you know, I had to think about it. I was like, well, I guess this isn't any weirder than the like singing lady in Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
But to, yeah, have them like on the actual roster as playable characters, was a bit jarring.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what game is this?
Mario Golf 64.
Okay.
Especially because ostensibly Mario, Luigi, and co are humans, mm-hmm, right?
No.
And yet here are these normal humans with distinctly different proportions.
Yeah.
it's like someone dropped a Mii avatar in advance.
Yeah.
And man, is that disconcerting to see them on the green together.
We're talking about too many games right now.
I found the limit. Okay, that was my goal.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is fun watching these kids play with the console.
The thing you're looking for the saving the games, it's called the N64 controller pack.
Okay.
And they're readily available for between like $10 and $30, like on Amazon.
Oh, sweet! I guarantee you, we will have one in the near future. Then,
yeah.
I wonder, does anyone still manufacture them?
I don't know. Yeah,
got with Nintendo's defensiveness, I have trouble believing a cottage industry could have come up, even for an N64 thing.
Stranger things have happened. Yeah. We need to talk about games under like an officially sanctioned segment. And to do that, we're going to do the regular kind of show, what with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
the grind.
The grind, where we talk about the games we've been playing over the last period of time or so. Jala, what have you been playing?
Sure. So most of the stuff that I've been playing on stream. I am still streaming. It's just not on like a schedule right now. But I have been streaming at least once a week. So anyway, usually that's been on like Thursday or Friday afternoons. But anyway, I will post on Blue Sky probably the day of to let people know, hey, I'm probably going to be streaming this afternoon.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the first thing that I am going to talk about is Alterium Shift. So I talked about this a while back, I think in February, and I streamed a session of this game as Sage, the Non-Binary Wizard. This is a JRPG. It's in early access. It had a successful Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And I was real jazzed about it. I persist in being jazzed about it. So just a few more little notes about it since I did that session and replayed that part with Sage and got a little bit further. It appears that you need to play as all three of the primary characters and switch between them in order to use their respective powers, sort of like a Trine or a Lost Vikings or Astalon, something like that. Mm-hmm. So although I was like at first, why would anybody ever play anybody but Sage? Well, you have to. You have to. So that's part of the narrative. You have to play all the characters. I was intending to stream more of it, but I decided to hold off because the devs are working on a bunch of different updates and there's going to be some major, major changes, rebalancing, upgrades of everything possible. Like everything is going to be overhauled in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to stream more of it and show people what it is right now when it's going to be changing a lot. And also, yeah, I don't want to play too far in and then have less excitement when it gets out of early access.
That's the perennial problem. Yeah.
Right, right. So I am setting it down in terms of playing it at all because I don't, as much as they prize the people who will play and replay the game over and over again, I don't really want to play 700 iterations of it. I just don't have enough time. So in the meantime, I will just follow the development cycle as it goes and wait for it to be out of early access. But it is cool. It is fun. You can definitely check out the VOD of that stream. It was, I think, man, it's been a minute. It might have been at the end of May, possibly, or maybe in June. So that's one of the things that I have to talk about. I don't think there's really any questions on that because that's like early access. So anything I can say is going to be changing anyway.
Right.
But it's cool. You should look at it. There is a demo and everything. So you can play the current iteration of it if you so choose. So
yeah, you talked about that on May the 16th episode.
Oh wow, it was a lot. Well, I played it in February because the times that I've been on this show have been kind of spotty. So
yeah.
But anyway, yes. Yeah, so in either case, the next thing that I have to talk about. Well, actually, there's a couple of things. There's Bantu Lintar Angin, Little Storm, and A Raven's Monologue. These are two different titles. And they are two extremely short experiences by Mojiken, creators of A Space for the Unbound, which I have not played, but I've heard a lot of positive things about. And also When the Past Was Around, which I did play and I talked about on here a little while ago. So Little Storm is nominally a visual novel. It's a series of wordless illustrations showing the aspects of the lives of three siblings living in rural Indonesia. And it was part of an international project with the intention of experimenting with ways to tell stories or communicate an experience. And A Raven's Monologue is a short experimental story about a raven that does not know how to croak and his relationship with the people in the town in which he lives. Both of these take like 5 minutes apiece. I streamed them. The total video for both of the two little experiences is like 11 minutes long. So that is out there if folks want to see these, but it's also 5 minutes. They're both free. You can go play them yourselves if you so choose, and it would take you the exact amount of time.
Yeah.
So
seems like a great way to get some neat illustrations,
right?
To them, like I don't know specifically what style the Bantu Lintar Angin, the Indonesian one, like what that is, but it has like a nice like warm kind of color palette, kind of an anime thing,
right?
This Raven's Monologue, just kind of that old style. It's not woodcut. Like, what would you call that?
I don't know. Words fail me right at this particular moment. But yeah, like it has a cool style. Both of these have a cool visual style. They are charming, short experiences. There is no text. So even though it's a quote unquote visual novel, it's a series of illustrations and some very basic movement patterns that you can do. So, but they are cute and worth a look, especially if you like Mojiken's work.
Yeah.
Cool. So moving on to the last one, this is one that I've streamed a few times now, and I will continue to stream this, and I look forward to talking about it. Cyclopean, The Great Abyss.
AKA Jala's quest to be killed by every door in a game.
Not every door in the game, just one door in the game after. Okay, so we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Cyclopean the opposite of Great Abyss?
I don't know.
Because like Cyclopean I don't know about opposites. Means a giant building.
Well, anyway, this is based on H.P. Lovecraft's The Dreamlands stuff. Dreamland stuff. So, like, it's based on Lovecraft. So, take it up with Lovecraft, all right? Not this particular dev. So, anyway.
It will shock
this
you to know that is not the not the worst thing we could take up with Lovecraft.
Right. So anyway, this is a small-scale CRPG / roguelike in a retro monochromatic style that takes place, as I mentioned, in the underworld of H.P. Lovecraft's Dreamlands. There is a demo available for anybody interested. I did not play the demo. I was just waiting avidly for the game to come out and just bought it and streamed it. Like, I think it was even the same day that it dropped. It released on July 17th And I think I was streaming it on that day, and I've streamed it like two other times, maybe since then. So this was developed and published by Schmidt Workshops. This is a solo dev who has created a number of games that I'm interested in trying out, especially after playing some of this game. Mm-hmm. And the first session where I streamed this featured a whole lot of me floundering around and figuring things out, primarily because I did not have a computer that could play stuff like back in the heyday of CRPGs. And so like I never played these anything like the things that this is inspired by when I was growing up.
The closest you would have gotten would have been like Eye of the Beholder on Saturn, right? Like
right.
The dungeon crawler side of it?
Yeah, on the Sega CD. And so, yeah, like the dungeon crawler part of it was familiar because like the way this is set up actually reminds me of the Sega Genesis game, D&D Warriors of the Eternal Sun, that one that I played and then like it didn't have like the battery had died in the pack and so it wouldn't save the data, and then I had like all these dramatic experiences and I never could finish the fucking game. That game.
you couldn't beat the second boss on Rayman.
right. So that game is actually laid out the same way that this one is in terms of it has an overworld that is two-dimensional, and you know, you see all the little guys moving around on the map, but then when you go into a dungeon, it switches to first-person view, and you are doing a first-person dungeon crawl, much like, as you mentioned, Eye of the Beholder and other things like that. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I didn't bother reading the manual, which is included. I don't read things. I just pick it up and play. And so that's what I did. And so, among other things, it involved me bashing against a door over and over again because it was locked and it had the option to bash. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then it did a roll and I didn't read all the text. I was only reading that it did a roll. And I'm like, oh, well, if it did a roll, that means that there's a chance that I could bash this door down. So I'm going to keep on bashing against this door until I suddenly died. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize I was taking damage. Oops.
Yeah. You're because bashing I wasn't with reading your head.
Yeah. I was not reading everything. I was
it's almost literally the that sign can't stop me because I don't know how to read,
right? Yeah. yes. So here's the thing though, the text that popped up when I did this said that I died by a spider web, so I was also confused by that. I was like, wait a minute, what spider web? I didn't see a spider web, and I was confused. So anyway, I told the dev about this after I'd streamed it, and then as a result of my experimentation, the very first update to the game post-release involved, among other things, a correction to the text that displays when you die by bashing yourself into a door. Because the dev...
Oh, don't do that.
the dev didn't realize that was a possibility, like had forgotten that was a possibility that you could, in fact, die because of a door. So
that's actually very, very net hack. I don't know if any of you guys have played that, but like that is exactly the type of thing you could do in that game. Like I remember you could if you were drunk and you walked down the stairs to the next level of the dungeon, there was a chance you could trip and die.
That's awesome, actually. I love that. If I died that way in that game, I would be happy. So anyway, the next session after I did my initial run of several different characters trying to figure out like what the items are, what the parameters for each of the critters that you come across are, and like learning stuff in general, just getting my legs under me. The next session I played naturally involved me wanting to go find a door to go die on because now there's a updated text and that was me, so I need to go see my contribution to this game. So I went and I was trying to find a door and I was like, okay, I'm gonna make a beeline, we're gonna find a door, okay everybody. And then it's like a half hour passed and it turns out that it's pretty difficult to find anything, and it took a lot longer and a lot more deaths than I realized before I could finally find a locked door to bash against.
Is this procedurally generated at all?
No, I do not believe so. All right. So the text that appears, thanks to my exploits, is severely beaten by an iniquitous door.
I remember that. You sent me a clip of that, and because,
I took a screenshot of it. I took like a clip of the original me dying by the door, and then the response, like when I went back in, and it's like, you know, destiny fulfilled because I finally did find my door and bash into it and die. So after I did that and I completed quest number one, which is not a quest that literally anybody else would go on. Then I actually was having a pretty solid run of things because by this point I had learned enough about the game and gotten my legs under me enough that I did pretty well. I did try roguelike for a brief span of time, but that involved zero capacity to save or load. And I didn't want to stay on that mode.
On a stream. No, not on a game you don't know.
No. So that's like, to me, that feels like what you do after you've already like beaten it and you know it inside and out, then you can do a roguelike mode or something. But anyway, after that, I started going around to all the different dungeons. There's actually four really large dungeons in the game, and I now have seen all of them, although I haven't completed any of them. So like basically I ended up getting caught, like stopped on each of these different dungeons because of one of several different factors, either a locked door, which I wasn't going to bash up against because I was trying to actually beat the game and I didn't have any keys, or because the critters were getting too hard and I needed to back off. So I suppose I should actually discuss mechanics. So let's get into that. I already told you what it looks like. Well, when you start up the game, you have a randomized character, which you can re-roll, but you cannot customize. And they have certain stats, gold, potential allies, and defense, stealth, damage, and hit modifiers. And so far as I know, you can't add any new allies. You can only ally with whatever you start with. If you start with an ally at all, sometimes you roll and there's no allies available to you. Mm-hmm. So you have, and so when you have an ally, what that means is if you find one of those critters that you can ally with, say you ally with cats. Well, if you find a cat out in the world and you happen to have a saucer of cream, an item that you have to give them, then they will ally with you and be in your party and be critters that you can command to help you in combat or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they also have passive effects. Like I found out because one of the first things I did on my first run was ally with a ghoul. Ghouls will drain your wits over time, and we'll get into wits later, but basically it's your sanity meter. And, you know, once that drains all the way, you actually like pass out and then restart somewhere or die or something. And, so anyway, that's a bad thing. And I'm like, man, because then I found like multiple ghouls and I had allied with them. And then that meant like double or triple draining. And I'm like, man. Well, I found out that cats, this is something I found out from the Discord server for Schmidt Workshops. Cats, if you ally with them, they actually replenish your wits over time.
Okay.
So that's useful because you have to search basically everywhere constantly. And when you search, sometimes you uncover unspeakable horrors and you don't get any more description than that, but they will drain your wits when you come across those. And then monsters will drain your wits. And so depending upon the situation, you could have all your wits drained real fast. So having cats as an ally is a bonus.
I have found this to be true.
Yes. My current character that I'm playing is allied with cats, but it's funny because I haven't come across a cat to actually recruit. Mm-hmm. You were saying, Moxie?
I feel like I have apparently had very different experiences with cats than everyone else. Like, my experiences have been cats actively try to drive people insane by, like, you know, staring off into the middle distance at things that aren't there and then flipping out and running around your house.
I think that you just had very bad experiences with the cats that you grew up with.
I mean, that could be.
Yeah. I don't know. You're not going to get me to speak ill about cats. I like my cats.
Hashtag well,
I
not mean, all yeah, cats.
Not why Dottie's listening.
So yeah, like continuing on about the mechanical stuff. So you have four stat pools that you can add points to when you gain a level: life, strength, skill, which is your ability to wield weapons, mind. And I think that creates your wits pool, which drains when you come across different horrors. But I think that might also be like your resistance or so. I don't know exactly what that does offhand. You can talk to creatures when you come across them. Some of them are willing to talk to you and others are not. And if they do talk to you, you can gain more information about the world and different perspectives from different races of creatures that are there. This also includes hints about other creatures and the game and how to go across, you know, how to get across and do everything you want to do in the game. And you can also trade with them. You can also capture creatures if you have a net, but I haven't gotten a net yet to start capturing anything. Mm-hmm. You can search for buried treasure both in the ocean and on land with a treasure map and the right tools, a dredging hook if you're on the water. And I have not figured out how to get a boat going so I can get into the water, but there's also a really big critter in the water right now.
Okay.
So I'm not particularly eager. I'm level 6. Like I am not a level that feels safe to go out onto the water to go figure out what the big thing in the ocean is.
Well, not critter water.
What if it's
a giant cat?
It's not going to be a cat. So anyway, all of the different dungeons feel different and they have different enemies and treasures inside. And you can also meet NPCs and monsters that you can talk and trade with, or you can ally with them and have them join you if you have the correct item, like I mentioned. And while you're searching around, so you have to search around constantly, not so much on the overworld map. That's not necessarily a quote unquote requirement, but you do find goodies every once in a while that are on the ground if you look. But when you're in a dungeon, I have some clips about me dying to traps a lot. There's traps every fucking where. Allegedly, there is some kind of textural difference between the floor where there's a trap and when there isn't a trap, but I have noticed differences in the textures of the floor, and they will either both not have a trap or both have a trap, and I can't tell the difference, so I don't know.
It's monochrome. It's already kind of hard to discern what's going on a little bit.
Right. So you just have to hit spacebar constantly as you walk around and search for stuff. There is a map, but it doesn't show you the entire dungeon, just the part of the dungeon that you're in at the moment. And since these are huge dungeons, that's only of like limited use. So like right at the moment, the last time I was playing, I was somewhere in a dungeon several floors down, and I have no idea how to get back out. And I need to, because I have a envenomed wound, which means that it's going to basically cut my life in half and keep my life at half until I can get an anti-venom, which the highest likelihood of me finding that is going to be the traitor on the surface, not in the dungeon. Like, it's very low chance that I'm going to find it in the dungeon. So anyway, like that's a problem for another day and another stream. Yeah, there's multiple entrances to each of the dungeons, so there's more than one way in or out. And so far, the main things barring my way, like I mentioned, monsters, doors that I don't have a key for. There are a bunch of other different useful items. You can buy items that heal these envenomed wounds, or bandages for general healing, cups of tea that restore wits, and a bunch of other things like that. But, I haven't found all of the items yet. I haven't figured out all the use cases for everything. But I have picked up some really good gear, including gear that I'm not high enough level for yet. So, once you know what you're doing, I feel like this is really fun. Like, I started losing myself. The first time I played, it was kind of grueling because I was trying to learn everything.
It's this kind of game, too, right?
Right. And then the second time I was playing, I was getting to the point where I was losing track of time playing, and I was like, oh man, I still want to do X. And I'm like, I gotta stop the stream. I have other things I have to do right now, but this is real fun and I want to come back and play more of this. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I see this kind of game and I simultaneously want to play it, but also I could start up Legend of Grimrock 2 again. That would be fun. I have to decide what it is I want.
Well, I mean, I re-downloaded Legend of Grimrock 2, but I actually want to play this one more than I want to play that one. So that's good. I will continue to play this. But yeah, several different folks are interested who have popped in and seen this Dreams are interested in playing this game or have picked it up. So I really strongly encourage people to take a look at it.
Yeah.
And if you're so inclined and you want to see more, not my first stream because that was just a hot mess, but like the second stream, maybe about 30 minutes in after I die by the door. after that point, you can jump in and see me actually like play.
So. Yeah. I'd be curious to pick it up and see just because, I don't know, I've got Scald on the mind because we talked about Scald earlier in the year on Watch Out for Fireballs, and Ben had talked about it recently as well. I'd be curious to see if this is as much of an updating of those the Ultima design conventions.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I would recommend picking it up. It is worth your time.
Seems cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
What else has everybody else been playing?
What else has everybody been playing? Dennis, Moxie, who has something new?
I kind of have something new.
Okay.
So, Fallen London is currently having their summer event, or as they call it, a estival, which I presume is how British people pronounce festival, maybe?
You couldn't get me to find out.
Yeah. I don't know. It does sound like something from My Fair Lady, although with the difference being that you know, Fall in London is great and My Fair Lady is an abomination.
Okay.
But the big thing, you know, they've got a whole bunch of events throughout the year. But the thing is that for all of the other events, they're basically the same each year, just with like, you know, added content to whatever the theme is. But the basic theme, what you're basically doing, is the same. However, the estival is different each year. And so this year, I basically woke up in my townhouse in London to find that hell had disappeared. For people who aren't familiar, in the world of Fallen London, you know, London has been taken from Britain and transported to the center of the earth, where it's just a short trip from the literal hell, although the demons are much more the, like, I don't know, like the short story, like trickster, you know, old scratch type of demons than they are either the biblical demons or the, like, you know, Diablo, you know, kill everyone demons.
More like Fae, almost.
Yes, exactly. That's a very good way to put it. And one of their big things is that they tend to be allied with the anarchists. And in this case, in this world, the anarchists are opposed to and seek to repeal all laws, including the laws of nature.
Okay.
With hell suddenly being gone, you know, maybe some of that's in play, because all of a sudden the rules of time, space, and what's the term? You know, sequence of cause and effect causality. Thank you. Have all broken down. So, for example, each year for the estival, there's a series of items that you can buy, you know, using real currency, or you can you get enough free currency to buy like one or two, and if you want more, you can buy real currency and get them.
Mm-hmm.
However, this year the way it works is you start out with all of the items because you happen to have received them before you bought them.
Okay, because of the causality.
Because of the causality. And so you only actually, you know, want to, you know, if you buy them, it's because you figure, oh, well, hopefully we'll eventually fix causality. And then if I want to keep it, I will have had to have bought it.
Okay.
Similarly, like there's a mystery you can solve, a murder mystery you can solve. And that's a really common thing in this game where, you know, kind of the way it works is that you know, do various investigative tasks to build up a your points in investigating. And then once it reaches a certain level, you can then, you know, advance the next part of the investigation, which basically, because this is a game that really revolves just around story, that means you get the next bit of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And this works the same way, except that the order of the stories is completely random.
Okay.
So, like, I am currently apparently investigating a murder. However, I have not actually been hired to investigate the murder, and I don't think the murder has actually happened yet.
Okay.
Yeah, so the whole thing is just very strange. It's very puzzle focused. So kind of the big conceit this time around is there's only vague clues how to any of this works. And so you're basically figuring out how, you know, how to accomplish these various tasks. And then once you've accomplished them, that then, I guess, kind of unbreaks reality. And so then that part of the world kind of starts working again.
Okay.
And so you're, you know, trying to work towards, fixing things. And there's also a mechanic where once a certain number of players have completed one of these puzzles, you have the option to just spend some in-game items and just like automatically kind of skip to the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of nice for people who don't have time to, you know, really invest and, you know, figure everything out and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it continues to just be really good. You know, it's a interesting game because very much, you know, there is gameplay, but it's straight up what you get for accomplishing a task is just more story.
Right.
And so that, you know, continues to be the highlight. So for example, I love one of the reoccurring characters is the Bishop of Southwark. I don't know, some British-y name.
Southwark. I don't know. Again,
probably
couldn't bother me to find out.
and his whole thing is, you know, he's the local bishop, but he's very much kind of he is a very literal take on muscular Christianity in that, like, his approach to exercising demons is literally to, like, wrestle them to the ground and, like, engage in fisticuffs.
So even when you said literal, I thought it was going to be like make them hop on a treadmill or something.
I mean, that would not be that far out of character. But so he's, you know, he's fun because he's kind of thrilled that hell has suddenly disappeared. But, you know, also is, you know, he's kind of a good guy. So he's begrudgingly helping you fix reality.
Okay.
But there's a description of him that I love that, you know, when it's trying to describe how good he is at wrestling, its example he gives is he's so good at wrestling that he has never even once dropped a squirming baby into the baptismal fount.
Takes a lot of control.
Yeah. So that is just, that is kind of the what you're paying for is just, you know, very delightful writing.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, other than that, I think the other big thing would be you know, tag teaming with Dennis, we've been continuing our you know, adventures in you know, fighting heresy for the glory of the you know, the Emperor of Mankind. So
more Dark Tide.
More Dark Tide. I'm trying to think, Dennis, did we have any particularly notable adventures this time around?
We've been switching off on the bolt gun, which is kind of a fun weapon. Which, you know, the classic Warhammer weapon, and is just ridiculously powerful. You know, just kind of shoot it towards a crowd and watch them all spray backwards. It is pretty great.
Yeah, and with Warhammer has never seen something over the top that didn't feel could be more over the top. I just unlocked a pistol version of this gun that's basically was already a rocket launcher. So, yeah, just even more gratuitous that, like, somehow I'm dealing with the recoil of this gun while using it one-handed. So, yeah, other than that, I don't know if there's anything particularly notable. It continues to be a very very fun game. It's at least on the difficulty we're playing on, it's kind of nice that it's sort of the at least in my opinion, the ideal level of not exactly super challenging.
Mm-hmm.
In that way, yeah, like,
it's a good hangout game for sure.
Yeah, it's challenging enough that you have to figure it out, you know, have to actually play it, but not so much, that you're really that in danger.
Mm-hmm.
I find it's a good game to play when slightly inebriated.
Okay.
I know definitely found myself some mission where we get to the end and have to, I don't know, carry boxes of something and put them in something else. And I still have no idea what we were actually accomplishing for the war effort.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was like special ammunition, but it wasn't clear why it was special. Like, was it actually a higher payload or like symbolically important or just like the God Emperor's
symbolically important?
I mean,
that is not at all outside the realm of possibility for this game.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game where literally the orcs, like, their entire thing is none of their technology actually works. It only works because they believe that it works.
Right.
So, yeah, it's, and also when you consider that, as we've mentioned, your average ammunition is literally giant explosive bullets. It's kind of like, wait a minute, what does the special ammunition do?
It unexplodes things. I don't know.
I mean,
sorry, that's all I got.
You know, I would not honestly be surprised if that was the thing. But yeah, I know this is, it's a game I highly recommend, but it's a game that's very difficult to talk about because almost all of the joy of it is just very moment to moment, just like the dumb dialogue and, you know, having a mutant hound be mid jump to tackle you when its head explodes because your scion like blew up its brain, you know, just stuff like that.
Pretty fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the amount of time that we've spent like just kind of running patterns around the mission area, because each mission is like 20 minutes. And so there's that window where it's like, you're not going to be on long enough to do another mission, but you're not done chatting yet.
Yeah.
So like something in that like queuing area to just like, I don't know, target range or something mm-hmm. would be nice. Cause as it is, I run patterns on the floor tiles,
okay.
Which is exactly what I do on the real phone. If you are ever in the position of talking to me on the phone, know that whatever pattern I can find in the floor that I'm on, I'm walking around it.
Okay.
Just taking very careful steps as I speak. So got a bit of that in Darktide as well.
Okay.
I do love they have the very purposely kind of you know, the banality of like almost supermarket level intercom like messages going on in the in between mission areas. Yeah. Where it's just, except, you know, it's Warhammer, so it's like, I don't know, the tech priest being like, who the fuck took my my sanctified spanner? Like, I will turn you into a living robot when I find you.
Brutal.
I mean, yeah.
I obviously wasn't enough to deter theft of the spanner.
Yeah, it seems like he's all talk.
So, yeah, that's really all I've got.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead and springboard off of that.
Of course.
Dennis. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other new game to me that I've been playing, is the remaster of Burnout Paradise.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been doing a lot of iRacing.
Yeah.
And got a hankering for just like a good old arcadey, no basis in reality, smash 'em up racing game.
We want to get silly with it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so Burnout Paradise was available, and that's the direction I went. And man, did it take my brain a couple races to like shift gears. Ha ha, pun intended.
Okay.
In Burnout Paradise, you've got the map like previewing what's coming up. And so I'd be looking at being like, okay, that hairpin looks really tight. So I should probably like, you know, break into it and whatever. And then it's like, oh no, you broke like half a block too early.
Yeah.
And you probably could have just held the left stick.
Yeah.
And that's how you do most of those races is accelerate and boost pin down.
It's not a game about planning.
Mm-mm. No, not a game about breaking either. unless you are breaking stuff by crashing through it.
Right.
It is such a genius design to have you flow in and out of the actual events so seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone that doesn't know, it's this giant city map, and every intersection with a traffic light is an event. And so just any intersection you come across, you just, you know, peel out a little bit and it'll start an event. But it like, you know, the camera will shift and it'll tell you what event is coming up, and then you're gone. You went, you know, there's no loading in or anything like that. And then when you cross the finish line, or, you know, reach the high score, run out of time or whatever, you'll get the results screen, but then it puts you right back in the car, heading the speed and direction, that you were at the end of the event.
Yeah.
And so just comboing from like, okay, well, I finished that race, but I see a billboard I haven't smashed yet ahead. So I'll go hit that. And then by the time I've done that, I'm at another intersection that I haven't checked out yet. And that puts me in a stunt session that sends me across the map. And I just so happen to be, you know, next to a super jump that I haven't cleared yet. Uh-huh. When I finish that. And it's like, you know, then it's 2 hours later. 1 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, the I don't know if that's flow state necessarily, but the way the game just keeps you popping from thing to thing is really nice.
I love that game so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, I prefer an arcade racer, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Just it is more fun to me in a way that I feel ridiculous for even attempting to justify. It's just fun to me.
yes.
But like just the structure of that. And it's so surprising that, like, I don't know, it was kind of like you didn't see more people go exactly that direction with their racing games. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
so
like the closest thing that I found, admittedly, I stopped paying attention after a while, but like Forza Horizon, five, maybe
for like the racing game as MMO. Yes. I think of, I haven't played it, but Wreckfest. is
That's a successor. That's like the some folks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They do
but
say
I
Wreckfest
think...
is the most important meal of the day.
For Burnout fans anyway. I think that one might be more on the like hyper realistic physics of crashing end of the spectrum. And so what I've seen of it is like, hey, get your car down this hill without, you know, beating it to hell, et cetera. So even Wreckfest might be a little too technical for Burnout.
See, the thing that's on top of, you know, the open world stuff you're talking about, the other thing that's kind of amazing to me is no one has done the different classes of cars. Like, just the idea of having a car where, like, the way you go faster is by crashing other cars. Like, that just seems like such a great way. Going back to the MMO angle, like, that almost feels like all the innovation that's been done in the MMO space of, like, how can we make it so you can do healing by doing combat, you know? Like, it feels very similar of, like, how can we make it so you can, you know, do the thing you're supposed to do by doing the thing you want to do?
No, and it's like building in different character classes. I'm like, yeah, there's like a little bit of compulsory like menu tax to it where like, okay, like I need to do this particular kind of race. Let me swing by the garage and let me load up this particular kind of car. But like, I don't know, each of them gains boost in a different way. And it forces you to look at the track in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, even that presumes you have a plan for what you're going to go do.
Right.
Which, you know, I have not yet. Granted, I'm only on my like C license, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't run into a race where I felt like I've had to change cars.
Yeah.
And I'm almost afraid to go to the junkyard because you unlock new cars all the time. And then when you go into the junkyard, you get this like overly long cinematic for each car where it just drops. No, it drops it in like off of a magnetic crane or something. And you get a little bit of the engine in there and stuff, but it is a solid 10 seconds for each car.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, maybe it's just cause I'm in early game, but it's like, I want the menu. I know you can get me to the menu faster than this, please. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what is fun is watching the cars crash.
Mm-hmm.
And again, haven't played Wreckfest, so can't comment there. But just the way the bodies of the cars deform, the sound of it all, and then the automated camera. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you crash someone else or you yourself crash, you get kind of this amazing slow motion cinematic shot of what's happening to the car. In excruciating, glorious detail.
I call it fuck you vision.
Yeah.
Well, and I love the... So I love also the conceit of, like, the fact that explicitly none of the cars have drivers. Like, I just love the idea of just, you know, recognizing, like, we can have as much of we want of the thing that people love and just be like, yeah, no one gets hurt because we said so.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? I have not driven, but I see they've got bikes in the game now.
Yeah, that was the expansion. That was post-release. Like, they did a whole bunch of free extra content that included bicycles. Not bicycles. Yeah. That would be messed up. Motorcycles.
Yes. And I'm kind of curious.
Burnout added horses. Sorry.
I'm kind of curious to see what happens when you wreck with that because they do clearly have drivers. But I feel like it makes too much of a statement about the kind of person I am that I would get on the bike just to run it into a wall to see a person splatter.
Also, riding a motorcycle in a video game is second only to flying a helicopter in a video game. Like, it's one of the best things you can do. Yeah. You know?
Oh, I thought you were going to mean, like, inevitably it ends in your death.
I
wouldn't
do
too well at a helicopter.
They're not mutually exclusive. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious what'll happen whenever I hop on there and how they deal with that. But the crashes are just delicious to the point where if I'm ahead in a race, you know, I'm getting increasingly risky with mm-hmm. my decision making. And somewhere in the back of my mind is like, look, the worst that happens is I get to see a cool crash and I'll reset still ahead of everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is only very tangential, but just the mention of horses reminds me of, I dropped a link to a game in the chat. Have you guys seen Nightfall?
No.
It's a kind of versus racing game where you are a knight on a horse armed with a revolver for some reason. But then also for some reason your horse can drift. So like you have a button you push and your horse just kind of like splutes out on the ground. It can like drift mm-hmm. around corners.
That is very fun.
Nice. Speedy horses.
Yeah, Burnout Paradise is a really good game.
Yeah. I'll continue the theme of car-based games here. I have also started playing Rocket League again at the behest of my kids.
Okay. Is that fully within the Fortnite game complex?
No. But they are intertwined enough that like the cars you unlock in Fortnite transfer over to Rocket League.
Okay.
And vice versa.
Oh, I didn't know which that. Is that's actually really cool.
Yeah, it's the only reason my kids were interested in playing.
Okay.
Was because they were like, oh, well, apparently I have unlocks. So I have to install this game so I can get the unlocks. And just like they play Fortnite, it's dress up. You know, it's picking the car and painting it and getting the decals and and you know, they easily spend half their time doing that. But then we've jumped in to do some actual matches, either, you know, 2v2 if only one of the kids is playing, or 3v3, Milo, Luke, and I going at it together.
Mm-hmm.
That's an exercise in patience, people.
Yeah, I can't rely on them too much.
No, there's moments of brilliance. But, you know, the whole thing about Rocket League, at least, you know, if you are anything less than a hardcore player, is that the controls are unintuitive and difficult.
Yeah.
It is very easy to miss the ball or fly off in a random direction or just generally like get stuck in the goal as you're trying to defend. And and so, you know, that carries a level of fun. It also carries a level of frustration, right? At not being able to do the thing that you want to do that should be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, you know, seems like it should be easy.
Right.
And so you've got that and, you know, kid opponent or kid teammates, who are very likely to be on the opposite side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not on the opposite side of the field, they are charging straight at the ball, mm-hmm. Including if that means it's through you. So I've gotten knocked off a lot of winning trajectories.
Yeah.
By excited kids. But you know, everyone's having fun. It's also hilarious, and you know, that makes it worth it. But I think it's definitely a game where if I knew I was grumpy going in, mm-hmm. I would advocate for us to play something else.
Probably, yeah. Something where you didn't
gotta have the right mind frame.
Yeah. See how focused they're feeling.
Yes, yes. But yeah, I mean, also there is no better feeling than being like, all right, I'm kicking it out to the middle of the field, set up in front of the goal, and then they actually successfully convert and you have this amazing moment. So that's worth all the frustration and hijinks.
Yeah.
Even if the hijinks weren't fun in and of themselves.
Right.
I do have to say, I can't remember if this tutorial was in the game when I first played it, which was, you know, right when it was the surprise hit PS Plus drop. But when you first log in, it drops you straight into a game and does like the tutorial where like, okay, you know, it stops time and tells you the button to hit in the middle of the action.
Mm-hmm.
only it's presented extremely well. And just, I've watched it 3 times now because I did it myself and then I watched my kids do it. And every time I got chills. it was so perfect. And like the final segment where it shows you where the boost is and you go flying through the air to hit an aerial into the goal at the perfect moment. It's all completely manufactured and on rails, but it feels so good.
And just isolating the moment that you need to pay attention to. Yeah.
Yeah. And that happening, I think Rocket League is the first, game I can remember that was not explicitly a simulation of a real sport that had like the full on cheering crowd dynamic to it.
Mm-hmm.
That was like that overtly like, hey, this is an arena sport setting.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that just puts everything up a notch. So I appreciate the on-ramp they've got there at the start of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's good times with Rocket League. Ben is not on this week. Otherwise I'm sure he would have commentary. Cause I think he still fairly actively plays or at least occasionally plays.
I don't know. He stopped talking about it a long time ago just because it was, you know, it just fell into like it, you just take it for granted that he was playing. Yes. It.
Yeah, it's a forever game.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not sure. That's a shame he's not here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I would be like, oh hey, we should jump in, but also like the three slots are full. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
It's the squad is
come at me and my family.
Yeah. I'm surprised they
that's
only
that's not allows... one of the quick chat buttons. Surprisingly.
I'm surprised they only allow such small games. I would have thought they'd have like, I don't know, larger scale stuff.
I would guess that they have as like a temporary event scale.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of the core trio of solos, duos, or trios is I think the thing that's always in the rotation.
Yeah.
The other mode that my kids love and I hate is there's like a free-for-all knockout mode. And it's essentially Super Smash Bros. Just with Rocket League set up. And they have it so that if you are air dodging when you run into someone, it like charges and launches them a little bit more. And you're all trying to knock each other off a given stage. I think there's always something like that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, the worst possible week to have Ben gone for Rocket League chatter. But yeah, that, you know, that also, I think, takes the pressure off a little of like, oh, okay, this is not a team environment. And this is just kind of a silly environment that everybody kind of is a newbie at in one form or another. So,
mm-hmm.
It's a little bit lower pressure.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, so that's Rocket League.
Okay.
An update from Elden Ring is that I am at the academy and am fighting Rena, the Queen of the Moon.
Yeah, Renala.
Renala, yeah. There it is. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
How do you
become the Queen of the Moon? Like, is that a hereditary position, or do you get elected?
So she's not the queen of the geological feature, like, you know, the fixture, the cosmological fixture of the moon, like the actual place. It is more, she was chosen by a cosmological force that represents itself to the lands between as the moon, specifically as a proxy for a particular kind of sorcery in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. And also like, I must have just missed it last time, but the Turtle Pope gives you this whole exposition on how like she married
Radagon.
Yeah. Who's I think the big fox guy that you fight in the debate parlor.
No. That is his dog. That's one of his wolves.
Ah, okay. There we go. Yes.
I mean, I would assume Radagon would be a rat.
No.
Missed opportunity, honestly. but yeah, so, you know, there's all sorts of fun stuff going on there. It was a place where I got hard stuck for a while, the first time I played and eventually mm-hmm. did beat it. I'm kind of in the same place where, hey, you know, I'm going full magic user this run through and here is someone who is highly resistant to magic.
Yeah.
That's not great. So that fight is probably harder for me than it needs to be.
Yeah. I think it's good to have a backup.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also where I actually stopped playing, because I found out that, like, what, going there hard locks you out of, was it like Simon the Sorcerer quest or whatever?
I don't know about that.
Not necessarily.
I thought, like, he straight up dies when you go to the academy.
It depends. Also, I don't know which sorcerer you're talking about.
The guy in the clubhouse. I don't know.
I would need more specifics. Like, there are two quests that can. There's one particular guy who can die there if you advance his quest, but it's not like you start fighting Renala and then you're locked out of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the like, you know, talentless guy that you can give a glintstone key to.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen him again yet. I imagine.
Oh, Rugier well or whatever is who I mean.
Yeah. There's nothing that that ends badly for him at Raya Lucaria.
I thought if you went to the like academy and talked to the witch, he died.
Nope. Yeah. Different thing.
Don't know about it. I have, since I'm kind of stuck on the boss, been drawing my circle of like random stuff I'm exploring around it wider and wider. Mm-hmm. So kind of gotten to every nook and cranny of the academy proper. So now I'm exploring all the kind of lands around it. Mm-hmm. And you know, zipping back to some areas near Stormvale and the starting bonfire that I just didn't explore initially. Mm-hmm. Got warped into a glintstone mine. Yeah. By a treasure chest.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great, because that's actually the resource I needed. worst.
But also, you were...
Is that a patches thing?
No. Patches is in a different place. He does have a warping treasure chest. This is a different one, though. It's the one that is in the like ruins by the lake that will send you to the glintstone mines in Caelid. It's where you get sniped by shrimp threads. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they are.
I'm thinking of, if you talk to Ronnie, the Rougier dies.
No, shouldn't be.
I don't know. This is what the wiki says anyway. I don't know.
You would have to advance her quest a lot in order for that to go. It's not just talking to Ronnie that will get him. It's like you actually have to like get past a certain point. Huh. Yeah.
Sounds whatever like I'll have was, to explore those quests for science.
Yeah. I like, you want to do Roger's quest because he's good. He's solid. But like his stuff gets wrapped up in Fia as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
So they are doing, I guess it's easy to forget how well designed an open world game it is when mm-hmm. you are locked into a Raya Lucara or a Stormvale kind of section.
Yeah.
It is so good to just wander around and bop from thing to thing.
Yeah.
Out in the wide open world.
And just, there's just so much in Liurnia that you can bounce to as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my time with Elden Ring, and that's what I've been playing this week.
Okay. Woot. I do not have an awful lot. Nothing new. Continued streaming. Look Outside continues to be just a delight.
I'm surprised by how long that game has lasted for you.
Yeah. It's an RPG. I expect that I'll beat it this weekend. It's pretty meaty, and there's a lot of stuff that I'm just like not seeing, just because, you know, a lot of stuff is meant to be missed kind of. Everything is kind of coming together, finding more just fucked up people who were transformed by looking outside, when they really shouldn't have, and just all kinds of fun body horror stories. It's great.
I think my favorite is the people that are just like, no, I'm actually all right with this. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's cool. I'll adjust. Yeah, the nonchalance about it is pretty unnerving as well. Yeah. The only other thing that I've been playing is a little bit more of the 100th line. Yeah, that game from the Danganronpa and Zero Escape guys.
Right.
Continues to be good. Neat and interesting little almost like puzzle like tactical battle kind of things going on. And true to form for that team. Good, interesting story that really fucks with you. Like, there's a lot of time shit going on. Yeah. Obviously. Jala, like, because this is most, like, things you have also played, do you have questions about it? Like, how much have you looked into about the 100 line?
I have not really dipped my toe into a lot of stuff, partially because I don't want to get real excited about it. Yeah. And then just want to play it and then drop everything else that I'm doing. Because, right. Like, you know, otherwise I will stop playing anything else and then that. Yeah. Plus I also just don't have a lot of time right now. Yeah. So you know, that being the case, it's like I'll look at it later when I have time to actually focus, because I've been told it is a lot of time that goes into that.
It is. Yeah. There are some characters in this, Jala, that will send you through the fucking roof.
Oh, you're good.
Hate them.
Oh, yay. So. That sounds like exactly what I need to go check out then.
Maybe not right now.
Right.
See, I'm looking through like the pictures and I'm seeing like crazy Twin Tails lady, legally distinct from Pepsi Chan, and Muscle Mommy are like the characters I'm seeing tons and tons of like screenshots of fan art of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some. I mean, just with as far as I've played into it, like it definitely kind of strings them out. Like you do have to like earn their loyalty before they will join you in the fights. That's the way they kind of keep it interesting. I don't know. The Twin Tails lady with like the skull face drawn on, she is incredibly meta. She's always talking about basically talking about the events that are happening as if she expects it to be a Danganronpa or Zero Escape game.
Nice.
There's that level of kind of like textual awareness.
That's neat. Are you the like Pepsi Chan looking character?
Look kind of like a Fire Emblem Engage a little bit. Yeah. I don't know what Pepsi Chan is. I'm assuming red and blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That is you. I don't know. It's cool. I don't have too much else to say about it other than it continues to hold my interest.
Woot.
All right.
Nice.
Sounds like a segment.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
Yeah, a question proposed by Desiree. So thank you very much. It is about loading screens, which are quickly becoming a lost art as everything loads so damn fast. But there are some really creative, fun loading screens out there. So tell us about those.
I guess I will. I don't know that we have another option. I have one here from Rookie who says, I have fond memories of repeatedly popping out the hidden blade like a Wolverine claw in Assassin's Creed during the loading screens. It was so satisfying. I'm pretty sure it counts as stimming. Yeah. You're just walking through the Animus mist. Shink, shink. Yeah. Let's see. Jala, what's Thrensa say?
Thrensa says, everyone that's ever gotten killed because they decided to run through a room full of enemies in Metroid Prime only to have a door not open because they hid loading screens behind the door's opening knows this is clearly the magnum opus of loading.
It's a loading screen that leads to other loading screens.
Yeah. Loadception.
Yeah, they keep Loadception behind the beaded curtain at the video store. gross. Moxie, what's Case say?
Case says, Namco, including some of their classic arcade games, particularly Zevius, on their loading screens, and Project Gotham Racing, including Geometry Wars, on that game's loading screen, was really fun.
God, it's easy to forget the Geometry Wars was just a mini game they threw in on a loading screen.
Oh, that was its start.
Yeah, that's how it began.
Wow. Okay. Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Dennis, what does extent of the jam say?
They say, this one always comes to mind, and lots of great games followed. They posted an image of the Electronic Arts Commodore 64 load screen. Mm-hmm. C64 has a ton of great loaders for the cassette games as well, with nice art and music playing as it loads. We kind of lost it as we got to PCs and early CD systems that had trouble doing stuff during loads.
I mean, that's how you get demo scene people, is like from cracking, you know, just doing cracked versions of floppy disks to, you know, to pirate them. They had to, you know, like sometimes they needed to disguise their own loading screen and stuff. And they just decided, I have a little bit of memory to work with here. What's the craziest visuals and sound that I can put into this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. Strawberry Jam says, I wish more teams would implement the loading screen mini game, my favorite of which is on the Wii U with Splatoon. It yeah. looks like a little like balloon, almost like a Flappy Bird kind of thing with a blooper from Mario, maybe. I don't know.
Possibly.
It's a picture they took. So.
Loading screen. Oh, it's games are fun.
Doodle Jump. I bet it's Doodle Jump.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, loading. I mean, just
gameplay.
A couple of these.
Lie, I'm not sure if that's actually a thing or if you just put two words together.
Doodle Jump is a famous iOS game. No,
there's an arcade version at my local main event.
Oh yeah, Jala. Speaking of loading screen mini games, what's Fred say?
Fred says all the DBZ PS2 games had different little loading screen games where you could mash buttons to make the animation do something. I spent the most time with Budokai 3, where you could grow little plant men. And if you got enough to grow, sometimes you'd get a red one, which I'd always try to do.
Please, they're not little plant men. They're Cybermen. Come on. They're used by the Ginyu Force to try and hunt down the Z Fighters on Namek. They were actually a Vegeta thing. Fuck me. anyway. Now I need to look that up. And while
no one could blow you up there except yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. None of you would know, but the listeners would know.
Fair.
Let's see. Moxie, what's Dan Podcast Lynetta say?
Dan says Katamari Damacy and Phantasy Star Online had the best ones. I'm kind of wondering, because I played a ton of Phantasy Star Online, but I do not remember the loading screen.
I don't remember the loading screens from those. The Katamari Damacy ones are very cute, though. Yeah. Yeah, the Cybermen were used by Vegeta and the Saiyans during the Saiyan arc, so... Oh, well, at least I corrected myself. If anybody paused and then wrote in a correction before I realized that, like literally in the same sentence, shame on you. Oh, it gets under my skin when people do that. let's see. Dennis, what does Jonathan say?
Jonathan's got a good one. They say, oh, Spec Ops The Line is way up there, especially in the back half of the game.
How many people were alive?
Yeah. I also love the fact that by the time you notice that the messages have turned into like that sort of thing, uh-huh. it's probably gotten by you at least a couple of times.
Oh yeah.
They're like, how long has that been there?
And the final one here is from John, who just posts a screenshot from a racing game, I presume, where a car is stopped at a gas station called Lori's Gascotech.
Yes.
I don't know what game this is. Does anybody know what game this is?
No.
No.
Okay.
I do not. That's a very stylish gas station, though.
It is. It's not like the Hang On. You know, it's not Outrun or anything like that. No clue. I did a search for just the phrase Lori's Gascotech. Nothing. I think John might be posting their original art. So it's unclear.
Yeah. Are they a dev? Wait, could this be?
I must
investigate.
I mean, we were talking about looking for more arcade racers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No clue.
Oh, well. Also, it looks like there's a gas station on top of the gas station, like a gas pump on top of the gas station.
Where do you expect the planes to refuel?
As well as a giant sandwich. So I need to know more.
Where do you expect the horses to refuel?
So the challenge mode on this was no FromSoft or Bethesda answers, which
yes.
I'm not gonna do that, although those are super important to the overall experience, getting the items descriptions. But I am super surprised nobody said Resident Evil, the doors, opening the doors in first person, the tension that builds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the Doors are a great band.
I mean, they got a couple of good songs. Yeah, it's classic to me. Mm-hmm. Even on later versions where you can skip them, I generally don't. So,
there's a pacing element to what was it? They did the big like Unreal 5 demo, and showed like, oh, you know, the camera zooms in as someone is squeaking between rocks, like a crag that is almost too thin for them, and everyone's like, that is the classic loading screen thing in a game where you're bragging about how you don't have to do loading screens anymore.
So that's the thing
you could do anything and you do the loading screen.
That like that became such a hallmark of we are a modern game. Just like, you know, ever since like Naughty Dog was the first place that where I noticed it, like even games that don't need to do it now still engage in that, in the squeeze throughs, just to make people, you know, to have the signifier of this is shiny and new.
Yeah. And I think there's also though a pacing element to it. Like the loading screens in RE4 is being used to manage the pacing. Mm-hmm. And same sometimes with that kind of passage stuff.
I feel like manage lines of sights and reveals and stuff too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The I feel like and I didn't come up with this. I've heard people say this, like the most important part of the door loading screens in Resident Evil is it gives you just enough time to remember that there was a zombie right behind that door.
And there might be one right in front of you when you get to the other side. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
Jala, how about you?
Well, I have a couple of answers. The first one would be the fog in Silent Hill.
Mm-hmm.
The other would be the Rockman X series, basically whichever ones had zero rushing to or X rushing to.
Yeah.
Like that is not flashy at all. Mm-hmm. But like it stuck with me, and like anytime like I'm waiting for something that pops into my brain all the time. Like it lives rent free.
Jala rushing too. Yeah
exactly.
Yeah. Moxie, how about you?
So I'm a big fan of like creative variants of the you know, the loading screen where it will give you like tips on the game. Mm-hmm. But like actual useful tips, that's boring. But like, for example, Darktide, it's all propaganda slogans. So it's like, you know, blessed is he whose mind is too narrow for doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, things like that. Or Quantum Conundrum had just a series of like unfortunate life experiences that you'll never have to deal with because you died. The Tropico games all have like interesting facts about like dumb things that dictators did. Just okay. Like, you know, I don't know, insisting that everyone must refer to them in the second person. I don't know, that doesn't make sense, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Those are fun little world builders. And then Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, I used it in the image. I loved the DMC3 loading screen. Very simple, just the logo, but you could shoot it and slash it with the same buttons you were using for combat in the game. And if you went crazy enough, you could get it to break before the game actually loaded in. That was always incredibly satisfying.
Yeah, I never played that one. That does sound really fun to just kind of fiddle with. Just get some, keep your mashing muscles warmed up.
That's right. And nothing like a fresh burst of failure to start the level where it's like, I didn't quite get it broken.
Well, good question, Desiree. Thank you for posting it, Dennis. And thank you, everybody, for responding. If you want to take part in these, follow the levelpodcast.bsky.social on Blue Sky and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games and how we feel about them. Jala, what's going on in the world of video game music?
Yeah, so Hirokazu Tanaka, aka Hip or Chip Tanaka, is making a return to video game music composition. And this name might ring a bell to old heads because he was an in-house composer for Nintendo until his work on Pokemon became a conflict of interest for Nintendo. So he worked on such games as Super Mario Land, Metroid, Kid Icarus, Mother, and Earthbound, the Game Boy version of Tetris, and also played a big role in the creation and design of the Game Boy. Mm-hmm. So he most recently composed a track for Street Fighter VI called Glorious Match, but he's interested in working on a full soundtrack again. So he is out and about and single and ready to mingle, I suppose.
Man, I can't imagine that shingle being hung out for long.
Right.
Like, I don't know, Super Mario Land is a bop. I know he made it more than 30 years ago, or that soundtrack anyway. But right. Yeah, neat. Talks about a game called Oasis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, snap him up. Hey, anybody, if you're out there doing game dev, DM Hip.
Right. Give Hip badass. Chip. Give Hip yeah. Chip his due.
Very cool. I've got one that, I'll just talk about it. So everybody knows Silk Song has been in development for a very long time. It's so much so that it's become a joke, right? Kind of become a meme in and of itself. Except Nintendo, I believe, has revealed that, Silk Song, the sequel to Hollow Knight, is going to be playable at Gamescom this month over in Germany, August the 20th through the 24th. This is the first that anybody has seen or heard of it in forever. And it is still planning, they still plan for right now to release it this holiday. I kind of want to ask, who still cares about Silk Song? I don't know that I do. I think that they passed their window on it.
I don't know. I mean, it was probably the last good Metroidvania I played. So
yeah, Hollow Knight.
The hype train has gotten so far off the rails that there's no way that this can live up to expectations. The only thing that can happen is people are let down.
Yeah, I don't even know, I don't even know that it's, hype around the quality. I think that, for me, I have stopped caring not because I think it's going to be bad or anything. It's that when it became clear that they weren't serious about a timeline, it was like, I need to teach myself not to anticipate this. And I've done so well that even when it becomes concrete. Man, the last trailer was in 2022. Even when it becomes concrete, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I'll get around to it. it'll be ready when it's ready, and I'll be ready for it when I'm ready.
Look, you've become numb out of necessity. You can't just flip a switch and get that feeling back.
Yeah.
So my big fear is just, does this mean that it's going to be a Nintendo exclusive?
No, no, absolutely not. Oh wait, let me see here. I don't think it's Nintendo. I think it's Microsoft. That confirmed this. I apologize for getting that wrong.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that would be suicide if they made it Nintendo.
I saw something about Nintendo and Silksong in the headline verse earlier, so
yeah,
maybe there's something else going on there too.
I don't know. Yeah, I just want to see. Jala, do you have an opinion on Silksong?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. Moxie, what's happening with your story?
Yeah, so Fortnite just released a new trailer, and in it you see the various Fortnite dudes getting overrun by almost like like alien style or like Starship Troopers style bug monsters. But just when all hope seems lost, the Power Rangers appear, and suddenly the trailer morphs into a live action like Power Rangers fight, where they're just, you know, flying, kicking, you know, bugs that are people in, you know, rubber suits and, you know, having combo attacks and shit like that. And I don't know. It's just really cool. That's basically all I got.
It's the first live action Power Rangers thing that's happened in forever, basically.
Yep.
I saw some people kind of gnashing their teeth about that, finding it depressing. I have affection. I have nostalgia for Power Rangers. Like it hit here in the States when I was right at just the right age for it. But also, I don't know, Fortnite's all consuming. Why would you be surprised?
I mean, if it has to be in Fortnite, which everything does now, at least they understood the assignment.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing it live action was, neat. You were going to say something, Moxie?
I'm just kind of surprised that I just sort of assumed they probably were already in it.
Oh yeah. I pay so little attention that it doesn't say anything about what they do or have done. And just, I would be at this point, I would believe anything because I have not looked under that rock.
My big hope is that they add the Megazord or whatever, mainly just because I hate buildings in those games. And so I love when they periodically have a seasonal item that just lets you destroy an entire building.
Anything else about the Power Rangers in Fortnite?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. And finally here we have Dennis.
Yeah, a little fighting game fun. So Evo is going on right now, Evo 2025 underway. And we've had one of the most epic moments in a long time from the tournament, but not because of anything that happened on the screen. It's because contestant Koji Kog had a ridiculously over-the-top reaction to narrowly losing.
Okay.
It's, there was a lot of genuine emotion on display with him, clutching his head and leaning back in his chair and everything. And then he just kind of went with it. Okay. And so the entire match lasted 5 minutes or less than 5 minutes. And his wailing and writhing on stage in agony went a full 60 seconds. So 20%. of the time actually playing.
Nice.
It does seem that it was all in good fun, and his contestant, let's see, where'd they go? I had their name up. Goichi, was a good sport about it, and mock comforted them and kind of shrugged, what are you gonna do? But yeah, so a very viral moment coming out. You'll probably see versions of it if you're browsing the internet. Good on Koji for being able to, bring a bit of humor to a pretty crushing loss.
Was there a moment where it's clear that he decided to make it into a bit?
It flows pretty naturally. I'm watching the video again, trying to say we're 10 seconds in and we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he probably gets a good, what is that? 15 seconds in. And then you can see the turn happening.
Mm. So I've got no idea what the etiquette is. Like, I would be super worried about doing that and like getting popped for unsportsmanlike conduct, I guess.
So I think this was like the final match of the day, not of the entire tournament though.
Okay.
There's an amount of reading the crowd going on as well. So,
okay.
It was an epic moment. It was, a very narrow game that they lost on. Mm-hmm. Just fun to see people, having fun even in not so great circumstances for them.
Yeah.
So to give an idea in terms of like what seems to be coming, I just happened to be, I was watching a video of a player, Heyo, that like during the super, super long animations of like special moves would just like put his controller down and like do dance numbers and like, like play, like have turn his chair around, put the screen on the chair and play while in full splits.
Yeah. That's the guy who plays, Hugo, right?
Right. Who's part of the reason I think he can get away with that is he plays what's apparently considered to be like the worst character in the game.
Yep.
Huh.
Well, fighting game contestants are a different breed.
Yes.
Yeah. made of different stuff. Yeah. Well, if everybody was into it, it's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, how does everybody feel about buttoning it up?
Buttons.
The credit.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to level number 553. We appreciate you taking the time. If you would like to help us out, you know what you can do. Leave ratings or reviews. Tell your friends. Back the network on Patreon, patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Bunch of cool bonus content there. I don't talk about it a lot. I probably should. I stream on Friday and Saturday nights. twitch.tv/duckfeedtv. If you want to see me play some of the games that I talk about, that is there. Is there anything that I'm forgetting for our side?
I don't think so. A good amount of times there will be at least some other level personnel derping around in chat on their streams. So
yes.
Hit them up.
Jala, what is happening with Jala-chan's place?
Yeah. So the last episode that I released was on the band Ice Nine Kills. And it's the first time we're talking about a band and we're not going song by song or anything like that. We're talking about the overall experience because it's one of those bands.
Mm-hmm. Real production.
Yeah. Real production and also horror themed. So would be of interest to folks who are interested in stuff like Hex Crank, etc. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that episode is out there for folks. The next episode, which I have not recorded yet, I have the notes prepped, but for pretty obvious reasons, have not recorded it yet. But the next one will be on the science of grief, what is happening in your brain and your body when you're grieving. So that will be coming out mystery time. I don't know when. We will find out sometime in the next few weeks. So that'll be sometime this August.
All right. Well, I'm sure everybody understands.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's plenty to go back and listen to. You haven't listened to every episode of Jala's Place. Go check it out. Cool. Well, I've been Kay. You can find me on Blue Sky at K.Zone.
I've been Dennis. You can find me on Blue Sky at Furia Games.
I've been Moxie, just Moxie.
I persist in being Jala-chan in all the places that you may find me, including jalachan.place, which is where all of my episodes are.
And stick around for some titles.
I only wrote one.
Okay.
Critter water.
I have I have that as no critter water.
Oh, okay.
I too had critter water.
Okay. That is a 3 vote. How do we feel? Should it be no critter water or critter water?
I had it styled just critter water.
So, okay. So do I.
Okay. All right. I'm outvoted.
What
there.
About no, comma, critter water?
Only if you can say critter water.
Works on contingency. No, critter water. Yeah. I have two. One included the critter water. I also have an officially sanctioned segment.
Yes.
Okay. Moxie, what do you have?
I have nothing.
Okay. And Dennis?
I had one additional one. I had Take It Up with Lovecraft.
Okay. Seems like critter water is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, disgusting. It is decided.